Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the June 17 edition of Commodity Week. Commodity Week is a production of the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. So the corn market plunged more than 80 cents this week. We'll try to find out why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Bob Utterback of Utterback Marketing Services, New Richmond, Indiana. Our panelists in studio today include Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, and Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. Are there sound fundamental reasons, Wayne Nelson, supply or demand, for the decline in corn prices this week?
Well, Todd, there are a couple things that we were watching very closely. We have seen the export numbers and the shipments actually slow down as we come along here. We have seen the ethanol numbers continue to stay very strong. But we know that we're probably going to cut back on some of those ethanol numbers because certain areas of the country are definitely corn deficit, and they're going to close down some of the plants in the eastern part. So that's one of the reasons that we'll see some production cut back because the availability of corn isn't there.
Jackie Vakes?
I think to add to what Wayne said, you really have to look closely at what went on with Greece and the crisis over in Europe. You know, when you look at the effect that it had on the Asian currencies, that definitely leads to concerns over whether our demand is going to continue to be as strong. And so from a fundamental standpoint, we're still very tight on stocks. But if we begin to lose demand, you know, you start to see prices drop because you're going to start to build some stocks all over again.
And Ellen Dearden.
We're seeing some of these ethanol plants cut back. In the Western Corn Belt, we've got a real road and railroad logistics issues with high water on the Missouri, and to the east, really difficulty sourcing corn. I'd also point out that the strength in the dollar this week worked against corn.
Futures in Chicago finished like this for the corn pit for the week. Nearby July contract had a high of $7.92.5, a low at $6.91.25. The settlement price for the nearby contract at $7.25, 86¾ of a cent lower than the previous week. December futures, $6.60, down 52½ cents from the Friday close of last week. Remember, we give you the overnight and the day trade, electronic and open outcry, and then the weekly change on all of our Commodity Week numbers. So futures were 86¾ lower in the July contract. You say there are some problems with sourcing corn, and that would create a lack of moving corn, I should say, or ethanol, and that would create a lack of demand. Is that enough to really push this market that far?
Well, I think it is. Just the logistics are going to be horrendous problems in here. What we've seen is that basis has become really the hot commodity on the corn side. In areas where corn can move, livestock demand is great. We've got some huge premium basis.
In fact, cattle numbers came out, and they showed, well, go ahead. You want to jump in, so I'm going to let
Well,
you.
I was just going to say, you know, the cattle and feed numbers that just came out this afternoon showed 104% on feed. You know, that's another strong number. 89% of it basically placed, and a lot of those placements were in the upper weights. And then you look at 107% marketed. So we've got active marketings going on. We've got a large number on feed, you know, and tighter placement numbers, you know, ultimately probably will lead to some higher prices again on cattle. But solid numbers underneath the corn demand side of that.
Well, does the drop this week, do you think, and I'll poll all of you, portend a lower marketplace? And I don't know whether I want to say at this level or a lower marketplace as we move through the summer, but I'll let you answer that question.
Well, it sure seemed like it after this week because the bottom seemed to fall out, and we did sort of find support on Friday with the $7 close or right close to it and the above $6.50 close on the Dease corn, Todd. But we do seem to have taken the funds attitude to move a lot lower. We have some of the big banks that said they are backing out of the commodity markets as what they trade, and we're going to have to find somebody to buy it. As we look at these cash basis levels, I didn't think that the July corn could collapse as much as it did. I figured there would be end users coming in buying the board, looking to take delivery for their August needs, not knowing what was going on. So I was wrong in that respect, though, because it did not happen by the commercials as of yet, Todd. You know, so that's one of the things we're looking at.
When you talk about a lower marketplace, Todd, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What are you talking about?
Well, that was my point, I guess, is I don't know whether this is the lower marketplace at, you know, $7 corn, $6.60 for December contract, or whether there's more in the market or not. So I guess the question is, do you consider an 86-cent drop part of the consolidation at the top of the marketplace and a move lower?
Well, I think you have to be realistic when you're looking at the market as a producer. The strong strength is down there at $6 on a monthly chart for December. And so, you know, it tells you that you still have probably 50 cents of potential downside risk. We're moving into a weather market. Almost anything can happen. You know, the things that were negative earlier now are becoming positive to the market. Now rain is positive. And so I think we're mid-range at this stage of the game.
It appears to me that we're still looking at this June 30th reports, whether it's the grain stocks or the plantings report, and with a real eye to what's USDA going to dole out this time. And I think we have to get past that report before we'll put the focus back on weather. We certainly have had volatile weather. We've had a lot of volatility in the grain markets that reflects volatile weather.
Do you think that the problems in Greece and the problems potentially with ethanol plants shutting down were enough to just simply move this market 86 and three quarters lower?
No, it was all about money this week.
It was all about
all
the funds.
All about funds.
Okay, so, and does everybody agree with that, that the funds were the liquidation and the funds caused the problem?
Well, you know, when you looked at the funds, you know, the funds exited about probably 60,000 to 70,000 contracts on corn. You know, that's not gigantic, and yet it's still it's a big percentage. I looked at something I thought that was interesting came out of BlackRock this morning. You know, BlackRock basically follows the exchange-traded products. And last month, we actually saw $695 million come into the ag products, mostly in corn, sugar, and coffee. And if you've noticed, all of those have suffered, you know, and so I think you could look at some of it as profit-taking, even at this stage. And so, you know, it's like a house of cards. If you start to pull out certain things and you start to hit stops, it just magnifies the run. All of a sudden, now you're at a point, and especially when you go down this much, you've got what we call margin liquidation, guys who no longer can sit with it. So now they're throwing in the cards. And that's why you look to see today if we could actually hold this level or not.
I think Jackie was very right with the margin call selling and whether we were able to hold these points, because had we closed sharply lower as some of the levels we got to during the day today, there would have been more selling on the close that would have happened by the small traders, not the large funds along the way. I think that one of the things you can say is that the Greece situation wasn't it in a nutshell, because We were pretty well given assurances early this morning or at the end of the overnight when the German chancellor came in and said that it's going to be taken care of. There's going to be some private investors. This is pretty much a done deal. And we rallied at that point in time. And had that really been the problem, we wouldn't have had the big sell-off middle of the day.
Okay, so I have a secondary and a follow-up question. If it's money and money is not demand, if it's not demand, right? It's not demand. If it's money, then are the commercials, who you said were not in buying, waiting to see whether the margins and the sell stops are hit on the liquidation before they come back in and buy? And is this just part of a money flow, and it's a big one, but part of a money flow, and we will bounce back after the fact, after this liquidation stops?
Well, Todd, I think that's the big question out here. There's a group of us that feel that we should see at least a 50% retracement because this was somewhat of a washout, consolidation, whatever. And generally when you see this happen, we get down to support. We are seeming to be at support levels. I did not feel as good as I would have liked to have on Friday afternoon. I felt a lot better when we creeped back on the close. But, I mean, all in all, you would think that this should produce a 50% retracement. We are saying, you know, when we're talking about 52 cents to a dollar over for cash corn, you would think that somebody would be out there buying the board to protect themselves about corn they may not be able to get either for their ethanol plants, whether it's for their feed mills or whatever. But I think, you know, we're seeing them wanting to stay strictly in the cash market and leaving the board alone.
And I think the other thing that you have to try and keep in perspective, there was another culprit in the backyard, actually probably two or three of them, one being this whole ethanol subsidy situation, and the voting on that didn't help. And then you've got wheat, which lost a great deal more than what corn did, and it put a lot of pressure on this. Realistically, if you look at the move down, what is that, a 10, 11% move when you're at this level? So on a 10 or 11% move, how many times didn't we move 20 cents on you know, 220 corn? You know, we've done that how many times already. So it just you just really see it at this level because of how big the move is.
Well, you know, Todd, you pointed out that we've had a dollar down move in a week's time. But, you know, we've had dollar moves down before. You know, we've had those kinds of swings. We're just seeing a lot more volatility. And I think Jackie's point is one that's well taken from a percentage standpoint. This is just a blip on the radar.
One other item before we leave corn, and we're just going to have time to do, unless you want to really talk about the other markets, we've talked about wheat a little bit, is corn carryout is at 5.4%, or stocks-to-use ratio 5.4% this year, 5.2% next year. What's the difference between starting at that level and getting to that level? So for the coming marketing year, we're starting at that level, but we got to that level for the current marketing year.
Well, right now when you look at the board, the 2012 Dease corn is at $6, six and a quarter, versus 2011 there at $6.60. So the market's telling you with the starting out stocks below 200 million bushel that we've got, or excuse me, 695 million, that, you know, that 2012 Dease corn is probably undervalued if the 2011 isn't overvalued.
Well, absolutely. I think what the trade is waiting for right now before they really change their focus over to the 12 is when they really feel confident about what we've got for acres and where we're headed on this 11. If they feel that we're going to end up having really good weather, we're going to bump up the prices that are going to slow down demand, they might not get as excited on the 12 and just figure we might build some stocks back in. You know, so I think the next 60 days is going to tell an awful lot about what's going to happen there.
Or, Todd, it could be that if we start off with this higher-priced corn, we might not place as many cattle in the next year. You know, the people that started feeding cattle, feeding hogs, doing everything, they started that out with $4 corn, not $7 corn or $8 corn. And if it's starting up at $7 to start with, they might not place it. And once people get out of the livestock market, they're out.
Was there one item this week in soy that struck you that you thought was important?
Maybe some talk out of Brazil. that we could have a bigger crop. I noticed that the Crushers Association came in with a little lower number than what the official Brazil number is.
Well, and I think, too, you have to – we're going to be looking closely on Monday's report just to see how far we really are in Indiana and Ohio with beans. You know, we're past the insurance date now, and we were still lagging there significantly. So I think it kind of got lost in the quagmire of what was going on, but beans did not lose nearly as much as corn or wheat did.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. In just a couple of minutes, we'll return, and we'll talk with Bob Utterback of Utterback Marketing Services out of New Richmond, Indiana. Our guests in studio today include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Jackie Bakes of Stuart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois, and Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois. Here's the way the rest of the numbers finished up for the week. July beans at $13.90 and a half, top, bottom at $13.30 and a half, settlement price $13.33, up 54, rather down 54 and a quarter. November beans at $13.33 and a quarter, down 48 and a half cents. Wheat futures finished at $6.72 and a quarter, down 87 and a half cents, or 87 in the July of 12, down 70 and three quarters at $8.09. June live cattle futures at $109.75 finished $7.25 higher. August feeders at $123.42 and a half were up $9.02. Back in 2 minutes.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. This week was a nice break from the heat and humidity of the week before, but with it came plenty of rain for most of Illinois. Temperatures this week range from near normal in the far southern tip of the state to 6 degrees below normal in northern Illinois. The upper level flow most of the week was out of the northwest, and that helped keep the cooler, drier air in place over the state. The front marking the boundary between the warm air to the west and cooler air over Illinois was the focus for several strong thunderstorm complexes that traversed Illinois this week. Rainfall was heaviest from west central to central Illinois, where 2 to 3 inches of rain fell over a wide area. The heaviest rain was in far western Illinois over Hancock and Adams counties, where several areas received more than 6 inches of rain. An observer in the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network reported more than 10.5 inches of rain from Monday to Wednesday morning in Hancock County. The first half of next week will be typically summer, warm, humid, and with a daily chance for showers and thunderstorms. A cold front will begin to push through the state late Wednesday, and the last half of the week will see cooler, drier weather across most of the state. Showers and thunderstorms could linger in far southern Illinois into the weekend, but high pressure building into the region should push those east and leave the region dry for next Saturday and Sunday. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333 and by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the June 17 edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio include Ellen Dearden of AgriView, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. On the phone line this afternoon from Utterback Marketing Services in New Richmond, Indiana, Bob Utterback. He's got more than 26 years of experience under his belt and offers producers a disciplined approach to marketing and preparing for the futures, he says. Bob, thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure as always.
So at these high levels, do we have demand destruction or rationing that has taken place in the last week, and can you identify it?
Well, that's one of the comments I've been making. A big point is that I've been very fearful. If a person hadn't had sold his inventory, he was very happy about prices, and farmers wouldn't walk away from $8 corn. But if we had gone very much further, I think we were moving into demand destruction and political repercussions that would long-term cause great difficulty for farmers. And so, as a seller, I'm very relieved about this week's action. I think it was something we really needed to take some of the steam off this market. But also as a seller, I'm very, very uncomfortable about the volatility probably all the way into next year. I could see a lot of strong cases that once we get into crop produced this fall, won't be as big a crop as we all think it could as crops now starting to improve. The acres, all these wet spots and drown out spots will all add up. And all of a sudden, demand will not be as weak, and we'll have a good bounce. So a seller has to be also cautious not getting too overconfident of his position.
So, Bob, is this corn market a big board move or a big basis move?
Basis has been the big play here in the old crop. And I think I find really remarkable is if you look at the corn market is screaming at farmers to sell corn off the combine for September delivery corn and not store the crop and even the beans. And it's pleading for farmers to store the wheat because it's offering big carry. But we know farmers historically will store the corn hoping for a big bull market. And another thing I see starting to shape up is farmers that didn't have corn that sold early this year are going to hold corn next summer thinking of a solid basis gain, and it'll be a complete opposite pattern. So and the farmers will basically throw the wheat away and dump it, and the commercials will store the wheat.
Bob, when you look at the difference between December 11 corn and December 12 corn, are you seeing this? Can you give me an explanation on why you think it is the way it is?
Well, I think this, if you go back, even historically, go back to all the previous big bull market highs, the market always does invert. And the front end goes premium to the back end, and everybody wants the back end price to be the front end, so they held off on selling. I would say the question I think the panel will ask is these 2011 overvalued or these 2012 undervalued? I guess I lean to the camp. I think long-term 2012 is undervalued from the standpoint because I'm leaning towards 90 million, maybe even 89.7 before it's all over done. We won't know those numbers probably until January. But I think the market is going to desperately want to buy acres next spring, and I see a really big movement back into corn next spring. That means fertilizer needs to be bought this fall. But I think December corn, to get that action, can't buy that at $6. I think corn December 2012 is going to have to move to higher values. So I have not been a very big proponent of selling 2012 corn. Oh, I'm thinking about 20% price, where I'm 100% price on 2011. I think 2012 will give us one more shot next spring. But I'm also on record in the print saying within two marketing seasons, I'd say the fall of 2013, I think the risk exists because of political action to change the supply because they want to keep the consumers happy, that there's a real risk that supply will react, demand will ration, and we'll have prices back towards a lower profitability range, which is a very frightening thing for producers as input costs go up.
So you're talking about Washington taking up the ethanol tax credits?
I think that's the start of a several series of things that are going to, you know, the government in their action to try to help becomes part of the problem. I think they're going to try to do something with ethanol, which, you know, they're going to keep the mandates in place, but how are they going to get all the renewable? How is anybody going to invest in agriculture if the government's going to change your policy in midstream? You know, who wants to invest in an investment stream where you don't know the rules of the game? Secondly, I'm scared to death that governments were going to react all around the world to saying that speculators are responsible for all these high prices with a lot of government regulations. But they're also going to, I think, they're going to try to increase the supply side equation on conservation reserve. I guess I have a bad feeling that they're going to play games with it and try to bring supply in. And that's where that 2013, 2014 bearishness lies from my standpoint.
Well, let me stay with the ethanol thing for just a second, because if they get rid of the credit, do you think that has an impact? And then let me back that up, because if we're already blending at or above mandate and the blend capacity is at capacity. We don't have any reason to build another plant. We're running pretty much at capacity, if we can run the plants, that is. And the other thing is that we can't put, by law, we're at the mandate, we can't put any more ethanol in until we change the law to increase the amount as a percentage.
Well, I have said for several for a long time. I think ethanol has got a cap around 5 billion, maybe 5.5 billion. I don't think it's really going to go too much over, but I think long term ethanol has got a future in bioplastics as ethanol, as fuel prices go higher. So ethanol's fate long term is going to be tied to the crude oil price. If you get prices below $80, you actually, now some records I've seen suggest that starts to get into the cost production, some of the new oil, and that would discourage ethanol production. But if you have ethanol oil prices go back to the 125, 150, ethanol, everybody will be very in love with ethanol. So oil, ethanol is going to be tied to crude oil, which is tied to global energy policies. And that's why, you know, more and more ag, corn and bean market, I would say, is getting more important by the macro markets than almost the corn fundamentals, that's which makes volatility and much makes the world much more difficult to figure out, because we don't know what politicians are going to do. Sometimes they act irrational.
Bob, where do you think the July corn is going to go next week? Are we going to shoot on down from 7 or get a 50% rebound back up?
I like the way we close this week out. I think we've found some value levels, but I agree with the comment about basis. I think basis will be the king of the hill, and that will tell us exactly what's going to happen. I think the unwinding of the spreads this week was a lot of fun liquidation. I believe we'll start to, but I think next week or so we're just going to consolidate. I guess I agree with Ellie that it's really the acreage report at the end of the month. This is going to be the bulls' last big chance to push the market with maybe some 90 degree plus temperatures. And if it can't, then I would say we'll have a gradual liquidation, probably getting lead month corn closer to that $6 level, which is, if you're a bull, in August, I think you'll see an early low, August, September low, pre-harvest low, and you'll start to cycle all over again, trying to build back to highs back in that February, March to buy acres. So we could have put a significant high in this market. I don't think we'll see 720 corn now unless we see planted acres down and weather. I think the high is in, but that doesn't mean we'll have a good recovery next in February, March time period.
Bob, let's talk a little bit about wheat. Are we going to continue to see the amount of wheat in feed rations increase?
Absolutely. I think I went back and did some analysis. You know, if we go back, clear back to 69, we was within a hair's breadth of testing the all-time lead month corn wheat spread high at 37 premium over. And within two marketing years, you had wheat at a premium back to corn. So I think a lot of speculators saw that and started sniffing around and saying, hey, protein-wise, feeders going to buy corn, and eventually here the corn is going to ration its usage. And I think you're going to see some professionals start thinking about buying wheat and selling corn. I think it's a little early, but I think that's going to be on the radar, especially when corn goes premium to wheat, I'd say in that 50-cent or more area.
Bob, when do you think China's probably going to come back to the U.S. and start to buy beans?
Well, that's a good question. South America, they still got some supplies left. They increased their production numbers here recently. I think we're still going to. They're not going to be in any hurry to come back to us. I think it'll be August, September, and I think the bean market's over unless you get an August dry weather scare. Now, the caveat I've told my clients is 14.08. If you take November beans above 14.08, all bets are off the table then. But unless we make new highs, I think beans had an excellent chance here about 2 weeks ago to break the bear's spirit, but it couldn't follow through. So I don't think China will be in any big hurry.
Bob, thank you so much.
My pleasure, as always.
Bob Utterback of Utterback Marketing Services out of New Richmond, Indiana. Now a final word from our panelists in studio, Ellen Dearden.
November beans have a 75% retracement at 14.17. Looks like the next support area.
Jackie Vakes.
I think you really have to seriously take a look at where the market is, what's just happened, and get yourself in position so that you're covered to the downside and still have some opportunity to the upside.
And Dwayne Nelson.
It was a real rough week. We hope to see some consolidation first of the week.
Our thanks to our panelists in studio, including Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, Jackie Bakes of Stuart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois, and Bob Utterback on the phone line at Utterback Marketing Services in New Richmond, Indiana. This program is a production of Illinois Public Media and funded in part by you, our listeners. Please do pledge your financial support if you have the opportunity at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great week.